My guest host today is Chris Hill of Motley Fool Money. Hitting a July 4th deadline for your agency's budget bill is getting tighter because Congress is not going to be around much between now and Independence Day. The hearing and markup list is long this week. David Hawking, senior editor at Roll Call, is here. And, David, you warned us about this last week, but I look at the schedule in the House especially, and if you're on an appropriations committee in the House of Representatives this week, you're not going to have much free time, it doesn't sound like, David.
No, it's more than a full-time job for the appropriators, and that's a large group of members. That's about 15% of the House sits on one of those committees, on that committee. So they're going to be working hard. Yes, they're off for the 2 weeks after this one for Easter, Passover, and spring break, and then they're off another week in May, right before Memorial Day, and another week in June, and then another week right before July 4th. So fortunately for Mr. Rogers, nobody has objected that he is stretching the formal House rules that are often ignored, and he's actually had his subcommittees and the appropriations mark up two of the bills last week, the earliest that any appropriation bill has started to move in Congress in 40 years.
So that's a good sign because, yeah, it would have been within the realm of reason based on the performance that we've seen from both chambers, both parties the last couple of years for us to get to like the beginning of June and have everybody go, oh yeah, but that doesn't seem to be what anybody's interested in doing. And I'm also struck by the lack of pushback from anybody on the Democratic side in the House saying, well, wait a minute, we should take this a little slower. We should consider the president's priority. People seem to, there's an agreement, it seems, that this is a good way to go about doing things. And that seems to portend well for this attempt to restore regular order, doesn't it, David?
Yes, all true with one caveat. What I will say in support of that notion is that our reporting at CQ and Roll Call is that Senator Mikulski, Democrat of Maryland, the chairwoman of Senate Appropriations, and Hal Rogers, the House chairman, have actually been more than talking to each other at this early going. They have been, by some accounts, almost what they call pre-conferencing some things, trying to actually figure out what are the easy bills to put together and what are the areas of agreement and how much can they write the bills so that they, in the House and Senate, so that they look alike so that once they're eventually passed, they can be merged quickly. That's one bit of pro-regular order good news. Another is that Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, has broken with his practice of recent years and is actually promising Senator Mikulski that appropriations bills can take most of the June and July period on the Senate floor. Now, on the other side, there's one important group that you did not mention, which is the Senate Republicans. The Senate Republicans, there are some who are taking the, their critics would say it's a very cynical view, but their position is if it looks increasingly like we are going to win control of the Senate come November, why are we in a hurry to write full-year appropriations bills that take effect on October 1st? Why don't we slam the brakes on, or at least tap the brakes till it gets past the election, and then see where our leverage lies.
David, when you look at this all playing out, you mentioned the possibility of Rogers and Mikulski possibly working out some of the easier bills ahead of time. But apart from the elected members of Congress, as you see it, who are the groups, or maybe there's only one group, but who are the groups who are watching this game of political chicken play out, and they're the ones who are the most nervous? Because we've seen this before. We've seen Congress drag its feet, whether it's one side or the other, whether it's the House or the Senate. And there's always a group that gets a little nervous and is really trying to lean on members to get a deal done. In your mind, who's that group?
You know, I think that there is not one single group. I think that it is, it's almost everyone with an interest in the appropriations process would subscribe to the old adage that certainty out of Congress, is better than losing. That they would, federal employees, federal agency administrators, defense contractors, non-defense contractors, almost everybody would just as soon have that return to regular order if it, even if win, lose, or draw. So they're all putting the pressure on. I would say you know, to a comparable degree.
People, David, in my audience and folks who pay attention to the federal workforce, were struck by the reintroduction when Paul Ryan put his budget out, budget proposal out last week or the week before, by some of the provisions that were in there for federal employees. My colleague Jack Moore wrote a terrific story about it at federalnewsradio.com. These are the kinds of things, though, as I look back on previous years when things like this were introduced, these are the kinds of things that almost always seem to get bargained out at the very end. People get upset about them, as well they should, if that's the viewpoint that they take. But it seems to me that some of these provisions in Ryan's budget don't really have much chance of ever becoming anything.
I would say almost all of them have zero chance of becoming law this year. I would say that there is a nearly total divorce between, you know, more so than even in most recent years, between the budget process, you know, and the reality of governing the country for the coming year. What the House is going to spend now the better part of the next 3 days debating the Ryan budget and various alternatives to it, some from its right, some from its left. But in the end, it does appear as though Mr. Ryan is going to be able to get his budget through, and that will be the last that is heard from this document, you know, at least until after the election. And if the Senate Republicans, if the Republicans take the Senate, then maybe there will be some move to advance some of these ideas in the new year and confront President Obama on them in his final lame duck 2 years. But only if the Republicans take the Senate will that ever happen.
David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. What markers should we be paying attention to this year? This week, the budget hearings themselves seem to be pretty much standard procedure. The secretary or leader of an organization goes to the Appropriations Committee subcommittee of jurisdiction, makes the case for his or her budget request. But the details, the down and dirty will be in the markup sessions as always. Are there certain things that we should be paying attention to when it comes to those, David?
Well, I guess just to reiterate, or to remind people that the grand total for discretionary spending, what the appropriators care about, is, you know, in round budgetary terms, unchanged from this year. They're going to go from $1,012,000,000,000 to $1,014,000,000,000. You know, that $2 billion is a rounding error in federal budget terms. So the thing to look for is just, you know, where do the Republicans and Democrats, presumably, if they're trying to do regular order, agree to change the priorities visibly from this year? Because, you know, as you know, they just finished in January assembling the budget for the fiscal year we're now in. And it's awfully soon, one would think, to be making dramatically different sets of priorities for the coming year, especially when the size of the pie isn't changing at all.
Excellent insight as always, my friend. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Francis.